For it was an ordinary morning, but not for those who gathered on that hill in Galilee. The sun was shining, but the true light was about to manifest. Imagine the anticipation in the air, the murmur of the crowd, all waiting for something extraordinary. And then he appeared, the carpenter's son who in an instant would become the voice that would echo through the centuries. Can you feel the tension? The words he spoke that day were not just promises, they were invitations. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew 5:3. He said, and what does that really mean? That call challenged their worldview and ours. Jesus was telling us that to draw closer to God, we need to recognize our need for Him, our spiritual poverty. As Jesus continued, He touched on pain, meekness, and righteousness. Each statement is an invitation to look within, to step out of routine, and find a greater purpose. Have you ever felt lost in the midst of confusion? Jesus promises that there is a way, a light to follow. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, John 8:12. Think about the time when Jesus lived, a world marked by tensions and contrasts. The Roman Empire ruled, bringing oppression and exorbitant taxes to the Jewish people. They expected a Messiah who would free them from that yoke. But Jesus came to offer something much greater, spiritual liberation. His message was one of hope amidst adversity. Jesus emerged as a voice that echoed hope, not just for the poor and marginalized, but for all who were weary and burdened. The different Jewish sects of the time, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees, debated over the interpretation of the scriptures. But Jesus brought a new vision, showing that love and compassion should be the pillars of faith. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew 5:17. As he addressed the marginalized, sinners, and outcasts, Jesus offered not just comfort, but a new perspective on the kingdom of God. He was rewriting the rules of what it meant to be part of the faith community. His deeper and more spiritual approach to the scriptures showed that for God, the heart matters more than appearances. Jesus taught, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. When I read the Beatitudes, I feel that Jesus is speaking directly to my heart. "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Matthew 5:3, is a statement that challenges human logic. In a world that values wealth, power, and self-sufficiency, Jesus invites us to acknowledge our fragility and dependence on God. As it is written in Isaiah 66:2, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Each of the Beatitudes brings a profound teaching. The promise of comfort for those who mourn and the blessing of the meek remind us that suffering and pain are part of life, but also that there is hope. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. This call resonates with me, especially in times of hardship. The Beatitudes reveal the nature of God. Jesus shows us that compassion and mercy are reflections of the divine character. As he himself taught, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Matthew 5:7. This makes me reflect on how I treat others in my daily life. Am I living this truth? The beatitude of the pure in heart prompts me to look within myself. Jesus challenges us to be people who seek truth and integrity in everything we do. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5:8. This purity of intention is fundamental to our spiritual walk. Reflecting on what it means to be poor in spirit is an invitation to a deeper understanding of our human condition. Jesus calls us to recognize our limitations and our need for God. In a world that values self-sufficiency, Jesus reminds us, "For without me, ye can do nothing." John 15:5. Being poor in spirit implies an openness to learning and transformation. When we place ourselves in the position of humble learners, we are more apt to hear God's voice and receive His grace. As Jesus said, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:4. In a world that values self-confidence, poverty of spirit may seem like a weakness, but it is in this humility that we find strength. Jesus teaches us that when we acknowledge our limitations, we make room for God to act in our lives. As it is written, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:6. This condition of poverty of spirit invites us to be more compassionate and empathetic. When we recognize our own weaknesses, we are more likely to offer love and understanding to others. Jesus said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:39. This human connection is fundamental to living God's love in action. Being poor in spirit is an invitation to a life of surrender and trust. It is seeking God in all things, and as we do so, we discover that true wealth lies in our relationship with Him. Jesus said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. When I think of human suffering, I feel that it is a universal theme. The world is full of pain, and Jesus recognized this. He offered comfort and hope, healing the sick and caring for the marginalized. In Isaiah 53:4, it is written, Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus teaches us that even in pain, there is redemption. The way Jesus validates suffering is deeply comforting. He not only empathizes with our pain, but shows us that there is hope and redemption. As He said, In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. This gives us the strength to face life's difficulties. Moreover, Jesus reminds us that suffering is not in vain. He invites us to look beyond immediate pain and consider what we can learn from it. The Apostle Paul wrote, And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Romans 5:3. Each challenge can shape and strengthen us. Jesus also shows us that we do not have to face suffering alone. He stands beside those who suffer, offering a shoulder and a word of hope. As it is written, Blessed be God, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Recognizing and validating human suffering is essential for true empathy. Jesus teaches us to love and care for our neighbor. As He said, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7:12. This willingness to enter into the pain of others is a reflection of God's love in action. Throughout my life, I've always heard the phrase, out of sight, out of mind. Society values aggression as a symbol of power, but Jesus teaches us that true strength lies in meekness. He said, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. Meekness is not weakness, but a powerful form of control and wisdom. Meekness presents itself as an antidote to the brutality of the world. Jesus, with His calm and serenity, invites us to respond with understanding and patience. He showed us that inner strength is a choice that transforms not only us, but also those around us. As He said, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11:29. When we recognize meekness as a form of strength, we begin to see its impact on our daily interactions. A meek leader creates an environment of respect and collaboration. Jesus modeled this meek strength in every one of His actions. By practicing meekness, we can become agents of transformation, challenging aggression, and promoting peace. Remembering that meekness is a choice we make every day is fundamental. It is not about being passive, but about understanding that there is strength in not yielding to provocation. As it is written in Proverbs 15:1, A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. This wisdom is a legacy that Jesus left us. The pursuit of justice is one of the most powerful messages Jesus left us. He exemplified this in a society marked by oppression. Jesus cried out for the dignity of all. He said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. This calls us to actively pursue social justice. Jesus teaches us that the pursuit of justice is not only a moral responsibility, but an expression of love for our neighbor. In our daily lives, this may mean standing up for those without a voice and fighting against discrimination. As he said, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Luke 6:31. This pursuit is a call that echoes in our hearts. The justice that Jesus proposes goes beyond what is seen on the surface. It seeks the inner transformation of people. When we promote justice, we are cultivating an environment where empathy and understanding can flourish. This resonates with what the prophet Micah wrote. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Micah 6:8. The pursuit of justice places us in a position of responsibility. Jesus calls us to look within and ask ourselves, "What can I do to be part of the solution?" This requires reflection and action, so that we can align more with the values of the kingdom of God. As he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Matthew 6:33. Mercy and forgiveness are central themes in Jesus' message. He teaches us that to connect with others, we need to cultivate a forgiving heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Matthew 5:7. Forgiveness is not just an act of generosity, it is a path to freedom. The concept of mercy goes beyond forgiveness. It is an attitude of compassion towards the suffering of others. Jesus teaches us to act with love, as it is written in Luke 6:36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." This human connection is what makes us truly alive and aware of our role in the world. In practice, mercy can manifest in many ways. It can be a word of encouragement or a concrete action to help someone. By developing this attitude, we are creating a cycle of kindness. As Jesus said, "Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Luke 6:37. Mercy transforms the lives of both the recipient and the giver. Forgiveness is undoubtedly one of the greatest challenges we face, but Jesus teaches us that forgiveness is an act of courage. He invites us to look to the future and seek reconciliation. As it is written in Matthew 18:21-22, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. The practice of mercy and forgiveness connects us deeply with the nature of God. By acting with compassion, we reflect the divine love that has been given to us. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Ephesians 4:32. Purity of heart is a theme that resonates deeply in my spiritual journey. When Jesus speaks of purity of heart, he invites us to cultivate integrity in our actions and intentions. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5:8. True beauty lies in sincerity and authenticity. Being pure in heart involves a commitment to truth, both in relation to ourselves and to others. As the psalmist wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51:10. This authenticity frees us and allows us to form deeper and more meaningful relationships. Purity of heart is also connected to what we feed our minds and hearts. As Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Matthew 6:22. Nurturing positive and constructive thoughts is essential to cultivating purity. Jesus teaches us that purity of heart is reflected in our actions. What we do should be in harmony with what we believe. As he said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." John 14:23. acting with justice and love demonstrates the purity we seek. Being the salt and light of the world is a powerful call to impact society. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world." Matthew 5:13-14. As followers of Jesus, we are called to preserve values that promote life and justice, and to illuminate the darkest areas of human life. Being salt and light also implies influence. As Christians, we have a duty to engage with those around us, offering support, love, and hope. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. Every act of kindness contributes to this mission. This mission brings challenges. Society often opposes the light, preferring darkness. But Jesus reminds us that true transformation begins from within. As he said, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 1:5. Are we ready to face these challenges? Reflecting on being salt and light, I realize that this is a continuous journey. It is a daily commitment to live in a way that reflects the essence of Christ. Each of us has the capacity to impact the world in a significant way, and that is something we must not forget. As Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. Jesus' view of the law and the prophets is one of the most intriguing parts of his ministry. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus teaches us that true righteousness goes beyond mere obedience to rules. As he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." John 14:21. When Jesus speaks of righteousness that goes beyond appearances, he challenges us to examine our own lives. As Isaiah wrote, "This people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Isaiah 29:13. We are called to seek an internal transformation that manifests externally. This new interpretation of the law involves us in a deeper relationship with God. Jesus shows us that compassion, mercy, and the pursuit of justice are what truly matter. As he said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Matthew 9:13. Jesus' relationship with the law is also connected to the idea of inclusion. He often challenged social norms that excluded and marginalized. As it is written, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians 3:28. Seeking the well-being of all is a call that Jesus makes to us. Finally, understanding Jesus' relationship with the law is an invitation to constant reflection on our own lives. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. The law should not be seen as a burden, but as an opportunity to grow in understanding and love. And now, my friends, we come to the climax of this powerful message. Jesus not only challenged the norms of the time, but also invites us to a deep reflection on our own lives. Have you ever stopped to think about how the Beatitudes can apply to your daily life? How can you be the salt and light in a world that often seems so dark and tasteless? When Jesus calls us to let our light shine, he is challenging us to act with love and compassion, even when it is difficult. Think of a way to shine more brightly in your community, whether through a simple act of kindness or standing up for someone who needs support. As it is written, "Let your light so shine before men." Matthew 5:16. And what about the justice that Jesus mentions? It is not just about following rules, but about cultivating a heart that yearns for what is right. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. How can you seek justice in your life? The beauty of these words is that they are not just for those who lived 2,000 years ago. They are for you, for me, for all of us. So reflect. What can you do today to live these truths and impact the lives of those around you? Share your ideas in the comments. Let's walk this path of faith and transformation together.